Welcome to the E-Succubus Podcast. This week's topic is writing, both my methods and the general philosophy of writing that can help you to get more done. I mean, the simplest part is just writing every day. In the last year, I've written at least 400 words, and probably closer to an average of 1,000 every day. I get up in the morning, and I pencil in some time somewhere in the day to sit down and write. It might have been on one of the books I've been working on, some erotic story, somebody's custom request, a file for general release, or one of the games, text-based, that I've been tinkering with. But I always write something. It can be as simple as flash fiction, which are inherently typically 120 to 150 words, or very short stories at 400 words, and so on. But I write something, and lately I put it out into the world as much as I'm able. The other aspect of how I've been writing is just to budget my time. Really, people give me enough funding through the site that I can treat this like a full-time job, so I think in terms of the 40-hour work week. And therefore on days when I actually work, which I tend to keep to 5 or 6 days a week these days, I'll set aside 8 hours, and I'll sit down. And during each hour, I'll work 25 minutes, take a 10-minute break, work 25 minutes, unless it is my lunch break of 1 hour, or one of my other breaks of 15-minute duration. I take them at unpredictable times, but it means I'm constantly working. And when I'm writing, I'm really writing. I play music, maybe, but I even use a special program called Focuswriter. What it does is lock out basically your whole screen with a simple window. There's one theme that looks like a writing desk, a mahogany writing desk with a piece of paper on it. Another is that green on black terminal font I'm so fond of. But whatever I use, it makes it so there's not even any menus in sight. Turns your computer into essentially a typewriter for you, and then I turn off notifications from everything, and I turn off my phone, and I just type. And I often even close my eyes. I type quite quickly, but ultimately I just manage to let everything flow out of my head and onto the page. And then I edit later, and indeed editing takes longer than writing. I speak at about 120 words a minute when I'm speaking in my hypnotic cadence. And this means 1,200 words is equivalent to 10 minutes of file. The average file on the site is 30 minutes, and I tend to limit myself to 1,000 words in an hour, and then do other things like editing or work on the site if I hit that limit. This is to keep me from burning out, because it is very possible for me to write 6,000 to 8,000 words in a day, and if I really, really threw myself at it, I've written up to 12,000 of hypnotic content. I mean, my releases fluctuate anywhere between 8 and 12 in a month. Now, with the advent of the podcast and the recent live session chronicles I've begun to do, plus people's additional live sessions, the amount of writing I'll be doing will fluctuate even more, between 4 and 16 releases in a month. I also have two ways in which I make files, and this has become relevant since I sometimes have scripts to share and I sometimes don't. I will often ad-lib a piece of material based on a set of notes. I stare at the notes, meditate on them, think of what I would do if I were in a live session with a person and I were spinning them the story of those notes, spinning them the relaxing motifs, the induction, the deepener. I have so many inductions and deepeners stored in my head now that I don't really need to write them into the script. And it would be a waste of time for me to write them unless they were special and unique to the subject matter. Corruption of Champions is a good example. So yes, I use Focuswriter, and I'll have a link to that under this post. But I also use Scrivener. And Scrivener is made for writing longer works of fiction, I feel. It's like a virtual corkboard with little note cards pinned to it. And you can take them and double-click on them and open them up, and inside will be a full Word document. And then you can associate them. You can make different colors, have different tags. You can search between all your note cards. It's great if you're writing something longer. I used it for the Catboy in Trouble series. I'll link to Scrivener under this post as well. But the Catboy in Trouble series and for the more detailed story series on the site, I will typically use a full character rundown in Scrivener with plot events and everything. So I'll talk about site news as well. Well, I've written and recorded a lot lately, And people have been very gracious about letting me record live sessions and edit them to just have my voice and then put them out for others to enjoy so you can pretend you are the subject in a session. I've actually got 3 more of those waiting to be posted. Now, I mentioned I'm going to be doing between 4 and 16 files in a month. It'll never really be 4, let's be realistic. Or if it were, it'd be 4 and then 4 to 5 podcasts and 4 to 5 live sessions. You're still going to see just as much content flowing out. It's just I can also spend more time being detailed. The Patreon is almost at $3,500, and at that point, I'll have voting on file themes, so things will get more diverse that way. Now, what I'm going to do as a kind of exercise is... I thought this would be interesting. I'm going to pause my recording of this. I'm going to sit and write for 25 minutes. And whatever amount of content I write, I will then record into this podcast for others to listen to. Something created in the moment between 7 and 8 p.m. on May the 23rd for people to listen to and explore. I deliberately neglected to think of what exactly I would write, so it's going to be up to me to come up with an idea after I pause this. And then once I've added the scripted portion, I'm going to ad-lib a file of equal length on the same topic. And then I'll have a kind of scripted versus ad-libbed comparison for people to listen to. I'll put them in one pack and release them, and people will be able to look at them, and they'll link back to this podcast. But before I do that, I wanted to mention that I'm going to be posting everything on the Patreon. You can always find it there. That's patreon.com/esuccubus. And when you're there, you will be able to post or subscribe or do whatever you want. But you'll also just be able to find every piece of work posted the moment it is. I post it there first. So since I'll be doing that, you can actually go and kind of scroll back through the archives and see when I've created things, and I've been fairly pleased with my productivity lately. In terms of writing, I would say developing muscles is part of it. Another important element is have people in your life who will respect your writing time. It's generally understood at my house if I say, okay, it's time for me to write, then people will let me do it. They'll switch off everything loud. They'll let me kind of just do what I have to do. And you have to do a lot in service of being able to write. It's about emotional comfort. It's about thinking about the right things. It's about sinking into a state of mind. And I'll talk a little bit more about that before I tell you the ad-libbed things I'm going to tell you. But right now, I'm pausing the recording. I'm going to go write for 25 minutes. Be right back. And I'm back. I just finished writing. I wrote 1,200 words during that 25-minute session. So really, during one of the 50-minute sessions I spend in a typical workday, I could probably have gotten 2,400 done rather than 1,200, rather than the 1,000 I limit myself to. But I'll burn out more quickly and I'll catch less, so I don't do that. If I went all out, I could probably actually write the 13,000 words or so in the 6.5-hour workday, parts that aren't my breaks, but I don't think I really would want to. And it wouldn't be anything like novel quality. On the other hand, with erotic hypnosis, the point is sort of to create a sense of authenticity, a flow of my thoughts flowing from me to you, and to give you something sufficiently interesting to make you focus on it to the exclusion of all else. So, for that purpose, this kind of natural flow is very good. Now, the topic is anal masturbation, and I just created it in 25 minutes. I'm going to record it and post it along with this podcast. I'm also going to ad-lib a file of the same duration, about 10 minutes, and that'll be anal masturbation from the perspective of someone with a vagina. The file I wrote is anal masturbation from someone with the perspective of having a cock and a prostate to milk. So I gave instructions. Both are going to be loopable, meaning you can put them on a loop while you kind of play with yourself. One of the things with anal masturbation is it's very much a personal experience how much stimulation you need, and also kind of how you go about it. So I've just included rudimentary, you will be comfortable, you will relax instructions, along with specific instructions on ways to move that I find pleasurable or have induced pleasure in my partners in the past. I'm also going to spend a little time talking about, well, right now I'm going to talk about the general theory behind writing any kind of sexy file like that. When I'm writing it, I often close my eyes and just type. But I'm accessing a part of my brain associated with writing things, the kind I use for stories. But when I ad-lib something, I'm a little bit closer to when I work with a partner, someone I'm trancing live. But I will tell you there's a definite difference in how I do things when I'm trancing someone in real time. That person tends to know it. And also, I'm thinking about them. I'm adapting a little for their tastes. I'm watching for little signs and indicia of trance. The eyes flicking behind the eyelids like in a state of REM. Rolling back in the head with pleasure. Increased tearing up at the corner of the eyes. Drooling. Tensing of the body. The body temperature rising. All these things are physiological indicia of a slightly altered state. So it's something to look out for in yourself or your partners, and perhaps enjoy. Now, also on the writing angle, I'm working on a number of writing projects. In last week's podcast, I quoted a little bit from one of them, but I'm also working on more kind of vanilla BDSM erotica with a hypno bent. I'm going to try and make the novels realistic. They're going to detail actual things that have happened in my lives or with friends, my relationships or friends' relationships, stuff with hypnosis, conditioning, general air of BDSM play, and the way that relationships really are just equal outside of the bedroom a lot of the time. Outside of scenes, I'm equal with all my partners, and it's a comfortable way to be, and I'll be able to write about it. Now, the other thing I'm working on, and I figured I'd pitch this here since a friend had a good reaction to it, I'm working on something called Heart's Desire. And Heart's Desire is a small novel about an alchemy company in a fantasy world where monster girls and guys are very common. You all know my tastes, so I doubt you're surprised. But in this world, there are those who can kind of write words into the code of the world, who can write a small phrase, a code commit they'd like to make, a change to the world. But in order to sign their commits and therefore get them added, they have to sacrifice some small personal possession, something they value. And they come from a monastery where it's traditional to leave when you come of a certain age, in order to find things out in the world and bring the knowledge back. A lot of people don't return because the life is fairly strict. And there's a company, the Heart's Desire Alchemy Company, and our protagonist, she wants to go and work with them, thinking she can find out a lot about the world. Think East India Trading Company, people on the frontier, a little imperialistic. And the problem is they only hire mages. Sure, other people may hire warriors, may hire archers, may hire healers, but they only hire mages who charge the most and have the most diverse skill set, wizards, people who wield magic. And this girl, being specialized in a peculiar form of magic that is of a very limited application, of course could not get hired. But she has a little trick up her sleeve. She can temporarily set her apparent magic, the apparent magical ability that someone scanning her with sense magic would find, to maximum. And she does. And then she's going to spend the rest of the book trying to keep people from discovering that she really only has a very limited skill set, although powerful in its own way. Things are complicated when she meets a society of, well, slime girls who can change their forms and read minds. And upon exposure to her, they pick up a limited form of true naming. That's not too bad, until you realize their elders already have human-like intelligence, or greater, and are figuring out the full secrets of it. And knowing that the Heart's Desire Company would cage them to use their magic, she's then kind of got to keep that secret. And then there are sexy bits. But that's what I've been working on lately. And that kind of grew up with me. Like, I'd be walking around, and I would jot down a little note in my journal about what I wanted to work on. And inevitably, I had this whole character schematic and world and plot that I can draw from. And so I'll be creating that over the coming days. And I'll post it on the site when it's finished. I'm thinking of making a 4-chapter thing. We've got Heart's Desire, Water, which is the Slime Girls. And then we have Earth, Centaurs in a forest somewhere. Then we've got Fire, Salamander Dragon Girls. And then we've got Air, Harpies, and the Harpy Queen. And I'm inspired to write this by old kind of barbarian comics or old fantasy adventure comics where Conan the Barbarian or whatever other agency of power would rescue temple girls and encounter mysterious creatures and basically try to explore and always end up in over his head but come out okay. But here I've taken a magically talented rather than martially talented young woman instead of experienced man. And all the young maidens might also happen to have some additional features. Nonetheless, it's going to be full of mind control stuff, and I think people will like it. But that's not up to right now. In terms of new site developments, I'm working on a tutorial for people who come to the site, a series of small files that'll be present on the site in players, so people can just play one lesson after another. I'm also going to make a series of simple, and then more complex, and then advanced files for people to try that are thoroughly vanilla. They'll just be hypnosis-themed. And if they're just hypnosis-themed, well, anybody will be able to try them. And they'll also contain triggers I use frequently, like brain drain. So, what I'm going to do right now is wrap this up, and then I'll post it along with the ad-libbed file, the written file, and I realized that one of my live sessions had a theme of anal masturbation. It used the butt bunny triggers, among other things, but I'll post all three of them alongside this, and that'll be today's release for people to try out. It'll all be free, so people can kind of have a participation component to this podcast. I'm probably going to go back to including the trans portions in the podcast next week. It's just there was so much that it would end up being a 40-minute podcast, which is a bad idea. I've yet to get any questions. You can always send me questions at mail@esuccubus.com. And if they include the word podcast in the subject line, I'll answer them on air. I'm also going to be adding some effects to these podcasts. This is the first month, so bear with me, but I do have some music, I do have some things I can add in. And try and have some guests. Maybe I'll get some other hypnotists to come on, answer questions, be interviewed. Might be really interesting. Anyway, I'm going to be changing the podcast page to include players so you don't necessarily have to download. And they'll just be little you-can-click-play-here things. I'm also going to put these podcasts up on my YouTube. And that may be an even simpler way to embed them in the web pages. I'll just put a spiral background or I'll put my Patreon art or something up on them. The Patreon's been going great. The gross funding is like $4,000 a month, even though the net is, you know, $3,450-something. If I hit $3,500, I'm going to start having voting on what files people would like to have made, and it would encourage me to make even more content. Anyway, I'm going to post this, and let me know what you think. The email address, again, is mail@esuccubus.com, and you can also contact me on Tumblr, esuccubus.tumblr.com, or Twitter, @esuccubus. I'm also posting on the Patreon all the time. People don't really, you know, like my posts on Patreon or post under them or use the site features, but you can. And if anyone listens to this as a backer, remember you can make your own posts in the, you know, patron post area of my Patreon, and I would see them and always respond to them. You can also send me messages on Patreon too, or if you are a Patreon backer with a Patreon-related question, patreon@esuccubus.com. Alright, take care of yourselves, and you'll hear from me again next week. I'm going to start posting podcasts on Mondays, stories on Wednesdays if I have one, and live sessions on Fridays if I have one. I'll also post my work all through the week. My goal is to kind of take weekends off, because I don't really take days off right now, or take the best care of myself. And I commit to do that more, because I've gotten a lot of really nice messages from people lately, and I think I can do better. Thanks, everyone. Take care. Goodbye. For now.